Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Celebrate our God-given freedom and faith while honoring our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello, this is Marge Steinhag Fennelin, filled with joy and gratitude to be able to spend this time with you in this episode of Everyday Spirituality. I have so much for you today. I have so much for you. My mind is actually still spinning because here's what I did. I petitioned my friends on Facebook and asked them, what's on your mind and heart? So I know I did this last time. I did this last week. So I thought I'd try it again. And I asked, what's on your mind and heart? But I gave a more specific question to it this time. And I said, what's your biggest obstacle in reaching forgiveness? That's the question that I posed to my Facebook friends. What's your biggest obstacle in reaching forgiveness? I am blown away by the number of comments. I'm thrilled because so many people came back in actually a very short amount of time talking about, asking about, bringing up points about forgiveness. And I have a feeling that I'm not going to have time in just one podcast to address all of the really important issues that people brought up regarding forgiveness. So I'm going to get started. And like I said, I have a feeling there's going to be a part two to this podcast. For those of you who are following that post on my Facebook page and looking to have your particular questions or concerns addressed, if you don't hear yours today, then I will address them in another podcast. But let's get started. Let's get started about talking about that's a tongue twister. Let's get started talking about forgiveness. Because it's very important. You know why it's so important? It's so important because it's so often on our minds and hearts. And that's why I asked about it on Facebook. Forgiveness is, it's tough. It's really tough. And this is why. Why do you think Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive? And Jesus says, not seven times, but seven times, seven times. What he's talking about is we constantly have to be forgiving. And that's hard. That's hard. In fact, what I'd like to do is talk about the antithesis of forgiveness, which is unforgiveness. So the opposite of forgiveness is unforgiveness. Now, it might surprise you to know that unforgiveness is listed in the medical journals. This is true. I'm not making this up. Listed in the medical journals as a disease, as an actual medical disease. Unforgiveness, people, is a medical disease. And why is that? Because you think, oh, well, but that affects my mind and my heart. Yeah, it does. But remember that we are a total being. You can't separate the mind and the heart from the body. And what happens is when we're harboring unforgiveness, this puts us in a state of constant anxiety. And when we're in a state of anxiety, it's very hard on our bodies. It breaks down our immune systems and does all kinds of wonky stuff to our internal organs and all of the different systems in our body. When we harbor unforgiveness, we're doing damage to our bodies. And there's even some studies that suggest that certain kinds of cancer are the result of people who have, or in people who have harbored unforgiveness. It's not like we sit down and, you know, bring cancer on ourselves. That's not what I mean. But there's a link there that they were finding in this particular study between cancer diagnoses and unforgiveness. So think about it. Think about it. All kinds of other conditions, heart conditions and kidney and liver and all of that, because our bodies, we're all one. We're all one body, our heart, our mind, our body, it's all together. So unforgiveness is a disease that harms our bodies. It's also a disease that harms our soul and our society, our church. It does. It harms our church. Why is that? Because when we have unforgiveness, it's like turning off the spigot of God's grace. When we don't want to forgive, we're basically saying no to God's will. Because he says, forgive. Forgive others as you want me to forgive you. He says that in the Our Father. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's very clear. It's very clear. There's no mystery there. That's not a riddle. It's the truth. Now, who more than the evil one would want to stop us from receiving God's grace and growing in wisdom and grace and reaching heaven? Of course the evil one wants that. So of course he's going to stir things up and he's going to help us in a not a good way to harbor that unforgiveness. He loves that. He doesn't want us to forgive each other and to love each other. So he's the one planting all these nasty little thoughts that go round and round and round our heads that keep us from opening up and forgiving. Keep that in mind, because I will come back to that. If it's not in today's podcast, I will definitely come back to that in the next one, because we have to look more at that. But there's one point that I want to get to right away, because there's something that we miss. When we talk about forgiveness, there's something that we miss almost every time. And when I looked at the comments on my Facebook page and the questions, every single person who entered a comment, every single one had missed what I think is the most important point when we're talking about forgiveness. And that's this. We forget that we are a child of God. Those of us who are struggling to forgive, okay, we are a child of God. God loves us. He wants to envelop us in His mercy and goodness. He cherishes us like none other. It's as if each one of us were His only child. This is how God loves us. You, my friend, you are a child of God, and God loves you like none other. You are a child of God, and He is ready and waiting to give you His love and mercy. And He definitely will. He absolutely will. That is guaranteed. Our Lord promised that time and time again when He was on this earth. Now, there's a corollary to that. And the corollary is this. He or she is a child of God. So whoever it is that we're struggling to forgive, no matter how hard it is to believe, that person is a child of God. And God loves that person like none other. They may not behave like a child of God, but God loves them still, and they are a child of God. That is a truth. Every person ever to exist is a child of God. So whoever that person is that you just can't forgive, maybe there's a lot of them, that person is a child of God, cherished and loved by God, and He waits to envelop that person in His love and mercy. Now, let me give you an example. I will give you an example. And if there's little kids around, if you're listening to this without your earbuds in, I would be cautious about listening to this next part for the little kids' sakes. Because it involves my memories, my experiences. It's not just a memory, my experiences of being raised by an abusive mom. And my mom was very troubled, deeply, deeply mentally troubled, mentally and emotionally troubled. My dad passed away when I was 15 years old. I was the youngest of four and youngest by far. So my older siblings had all moved out already, and I was left with my mom. Too young to move out, still in high school, left at home with this mother who was completely unpredictable and completely mentally ill. It was pretty obvious and very abusive. One thing she hated was when I cried. Crying was just not permitted. And anytime I cried, even when I remember being pretty small already, she would mimic my cry. She'd berate me for crying. And on this particular night, it was not long after my dad had died. And because I couldn't cry, you know, I wasn't allowed to cry when my mother was around. We were both at home. I went up to my room and it was time for bed. And I'm trying to fall asleep and the memories of my dad just overwhelmed me. And of course, I started crying. I missed my dad. I missed my dad. I was lost. I didn't know what I was going to do. I wasn't too interested in going on living because it was such a bad time for me. As I'm laying there, as I'm crying, I hear this awful, growly, sinister, almost inhuman voice coming from the other side of my bedroom door. It was my mother. She was mimicking my crying and swearing at me. I'm not going to repeat those words. Cursing at me. And then she said that she was glad that my father had died and that she hoped he was rotting in hell, burning bit by bit. And then she went on to describe exactly what that would have been like for my father to be burning bit by bit in the flames of hell. Yeah, it's pretty shocking. I know. It's pretty awful. I'm going to give you a second example. And I give these examples in my talks often because once I tell you why I'm giving you this example, then you'll totally understand. The other example is sometime later, we moved from the home that we had been living in at the time of my father's death to a little flat, a lower flat in a nearby city. It was a two-bedroom flat. My bedroom did not have a door. So I rigged up a curtain so at least I would have some privacy. And one night, as I was sleeping in my bed, in my room, something woke me. A noise, I'm not sure what it was, just the feeling of a presence. And I opened my eyes and I saw my mother standing at the end of the bed. And in her hand was a butcher knife. Now, I was smart enough not to just jump up and cause a stir because I didn't know what would happen, quite frankly. And so I prayed for guidance and help. I prayed to my guardian angel to protect me. And I took a deep breath and I said, "What are you doing?" And I didn't move much at all. I just watched her. She said nothing. She said nothing. I mean, literally, she said the word nothing. And then she left the room, went into the kitchen, put the knife back in the drawer, and went back to bed. Now, here's the reason I'm bringing up those two stories. That person, and I'm not saying that flippantly, that person who described my father burning in hell and who stood at the foot of my bed with a butcher knife in her hand is a child of God. And I can say that fully and with complete confidence. She is a child of God. Even though she behaved like that, she is yet a child of God, and he loves her, and he wants to shower his mercy upon her. And that's what I have to be confident in. And I am. It took some time for me to reach that point. It'll take time for you to reach that point. But you absolutely, in working on forgiveness, you absolutely have to bring yourself to that confidence. You are a child of God. He or she is a child of God. Because real forgiveness cannot happen until you accept those two truths. I mean it. You can't. You can't. Because then it's always going to be in your control and you want this to happen to that person or that person to stop this or that. No, no. That person is a child of God. A child of God that he loves. Now here's the other part to that. All right? Here's the other part to that. There's kind of a, it's not really a flip side, but there's another part to that truth. I'm a child of God. He or she is a child of God. God is a God of love and mercy. But my friends, he's also a God of justice. He's a God of justice. And nothing gets past him. Nothing that you ever do, ever have done, ever will do gets past God. Nope, not ever. He loves you still, no matter what, but nothing gets past God. Well, if that's true for you, then it's also true for the he or she, the person that you're trying to forgive. The person who has wronged you or done whatever it is. All right? Nothing gets past God. God knows. God knows what that person has done. Absolutely. God knows what was in that person's heart when he or she did it. God knows. He knows all that. He knows things you don't even know about the situation. And that person will have to pay for his or her sins, just as you and I will. I'll have to pay for my sins. I know it. I know I will. And I beg God's mercy every single day. You will have to pay for your sins. And I expect that you too beg God for his mercy every single day. I hope you do. I encourage you to. But God will take care of that person in his way and in his time. You see, it's not up to you to decide what happens to that person. It wasn't up to me to decide what would happen to my mother. You know, as a younger person, you know, as a teenager, of course, I had all kinds of crazy thoughts. Oh, and this should happen, and that should happen. It took a while for me to grow out of that. That was not good thinking. And there were a lot of confession, a lot of spiritual direction to turn me around. And now I can honestly say I want nothing from her. I want nothing from her anymore. Because that's God's job. And that is the point that we have to bring ourselves to before we can even begin working on forgiveness. We have to fully, fully be convicted that I'm a child of God. He or she is a child of God. And God will deal with each person, each child, according to the good he wishes for that child. He's a God of love, of mercy, and justice. So if you don't think that person is sorry enough or has done enough to make up for what has happened or he or she has done or hasn't done, if you are fed up with the person doing things again and again and again, please keep in mind that nothing gets past God. Nothing at all gets past God. He knows every single thing that that person thinks, says, or does. Just as he knows everything you think, say, or do. He knows. You don't have to worry about trying to bring it to light or get retaliation, retribution. No. Free yourself. Because you don't have to worry about that. We have the divine judge. He's got our backs. He'll see to it that that person is handled in the way that is just and merciful for that person. So let it go. Let it go. I know that my poor mother will, and perhaps she has done, paid quite a bit for the sins that she's committed. I know that. So I don't have to worry about it anymore. I don't have to worry about it anymore. That's God's. That's God's worry. That's God's concern. My concern, your concern, my friend, our concern is growing in the spiritual life, keeping our own noses clean, so to speak, and doing the best that we can to live our Christian ideals. And if we're kept busy with that, we'll be less busy worrying about somebody else and how they're doing with living Christian values. It's true. It's true. I think about it for a little bit. And after you, you know what I hope you do is after you listen to this podcast, I hope you can find time. You can make time. Nobody finds time. Do you ever find time? I don't find time laying around. Oh, look, here's a bucket of time. Oh, yay. No, we make time. Make time. Make time to sit quietly and think about what I've said in this podcast. Replay it if you like, but think about it and take it in. Internalize it. And pray, pray, ask God, ask Jesus to show you the path toward being calm and at peace and to release that unforgiveness. Now, I think I will need another podcast for this because I want to talk about that aspect and go into a little more of the memory and brooding and things like that, because that's something that still has to be dealt with. We've only dealt with the first part in this episode. But there's one more little thing that I want to bring up that I think is extremely important in this process of letting go of unforgiveness and reaching toward forgiveness. And that is, if I am a child of God and he or she is a child of God, the children of God all belong to our Blessed Mother Mary. Right? Isn't that amazing? Absolutely. Absolutely. This is what Christ did from the cross. He, in a sense, he ordained the fact that our Blessed Mother is truly mother, his mother is truly mother to you and I and every single child of God. That was what that was all about. Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. St. John stood in for you and I and every person ever to exist. When Mary said yes at the Annunciation to being Christ's mother, she said yes to being our mother. Because we are all part of the mystical body of Christ. He's the head, we're the body. You cannot separate the head from the body. Not possible. Not possible. And so if I'm a child of God, then I also am a child of Mary. If you are a child of God, which you are, then you also are a child of Mary. Isn't that beautiful? You have a mom. You have a mom who loves you. Who loves you, and because of her closeness to our Lord Jesus, she knows everything about you. She knows you better than you know yourself. And I bet you know what I'm going to say. I bet you know exactly where I'm going with this, because he or she, the person that we are struggling to forgive, is a child of God. And if he or she is a child of God, then he or she is also a child of Mary. They have a mom. They have a mom named Mary who loves them and is grace-filled and yearning to distribute graces abundantly to every single child of God. She waits. She yearns to be near us and to walk this path of forgiveness with us because she understands. She understands us better than we understand ourselves. And she understands what it's like to be deeply hurt. Absolutely, she does. She understands the need to forgive. How else could she have gone along on the way of the cross without losing her mind? Forgive, forgive, and forgive. And she's a tender-hearted mother. So she not only wants to forgive, but she wants God's will above all things. And this is how we need to look toward our own situations. God's will above all things. And Mary will help us with that. If we allow ourselves to draw close to her, if we allow her to draw close to us, we need that mothering, especially when we're hurting. Especially when we're hurting over a situation. We need that. We need, of course, God's love, mercy, and we'll get his justice. But we need motherly love to help heal those wounds, to heal the woundedness caused by the harm that was done to us. So ask our Mother Mary, walk this path with me. Please help me. Mother Mary, open my heart. Open my heart to forgiveness. Help me to let go of my unforgiveness. All right, we're out of time. And that's a good thing because I think I've covered plenty for you for one podcast, and I definitely will be going back to this in the next episode of Everyday Spirituality. This is your host, Marge Steinhig Fenelon. I encourage you, please, to look me up on Facebook, Margaret. That's my legal name. I'm reverting back. Now I'm talking about my mother. Marge Steinhig Fenelon. That's me on Facebook. That's my page. And on Twitter and Instagram, I'm Marge Steinfen. You can find me there. You can look me up also on my website. You can learn more about me. That's MargeSteinhigFenelon.com. MargeFenelon.com is my website. So please like this podcast, share this podcast. Let's spread the word that unforgiveness is a disease and there's a way to rid ourselves of that disease. God bless you, my friends. Mother Mary, protect you. Until next time.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I'd like to invite you to join me for a pilgrimage tour to France this September. It's based on my book, St. Benedict and St. Therese, The Little Rule and the Little Way. I'll be teaching about the spiritualities and the lives of these two great saints, and we'll be visiting the great monastery of Fleury, where St. Benedict's relics are venerated, and of course going to Lisieux to visit the childhood home of St. Therese, the Carmel where she was a nun, and the great basilica dedicated to her honor. But there's more than that. At Paris, we'll be visiting the Basilica of Sacré-Cœur, Rue de Bach with the Miraculous Medal, going on to Vézelay, Nevers with St. Bernadette, Paray-le-Monial, where the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus was given to St. Margaret Mary, and then Chartres Cathedral, Mont-Saint-Michel, the Normandy beaches, and more. I think there's not only going to be time for instruction and learning, but also prayer and worship, celebrating Mass in the various locations, and also time for fellowship and a good bit of French food and wine, too. Come and join us this September. If you'd like to know more, go to CatholicHeritageTours.com. That's CatholicHeritageTours.com, or be in touch with me through my website, DwightLongenecker.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at CaneFord.com.